I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we've been having so much fun this homegrown week, bringing bands in, a lot of them who have never been here before. And it's so much fun to kind of finally catch up with them. And today it is Fearless Moral Inventory. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
And they are Andrew Stern, Corey Geis, Steve Carls, who was a longtime volunteer here at KMD, so fun to have you back in here, Steve, Matt Ferguson, and Mike McLean on drums. I'm going to have you, and you have a new album out called American Standard, and I'm going to have you start with a song, and maybe from that, maybe something else, whatever you want to do, and then we'll come back and chat. What do you want to start with?
It'd be the first song on that album, and it's Give It Up.
Tell me.
That one from Fearless Moral Inventory, live from Studio A, from their new album, American Standard. Well, again, welcome, everybody. Great to have you here for the first time. And Andrew, last time I saw you, this is one of the things I love about Homegrown. Last time I saw you, you had a baby strapped to your chest, and you were at the baby's grandma's show because she's your mother-in-law, Susie from Dance Attic. I love the multi-generational nature of Homegrown.
Father Hennepin jokes that it's the first baby of Homegrown, so we figured on his first year out, he has to see some stuff. So Jordan has been at a few shows. He likes to dance. He likes the tunes.
And he's cute as a button, so. Yeah. And he's got those headphones. Nothing cuter than a baby with headphones on, protecting their ears there. Well, welcome. And so this band, I think it just started. Did it just start with Andrew, you, and Corey? Were you the beginning of this band? You've been around for a long time, actually.
Yeah, we've been around for a long time. We definitely have evolved and grown. I moved in with Corey at one point, and he said, I play guitar. And I was like, cool, I'm learning how to play guitar. So then we kind of started Fearless that way, and we played a few open mics, and we actually played our first Homegrown because I talked to Dave Mayling at the time, and I was like, we got to play this. And he's like, it's already booked. And then there was a band that had strep throat. So that was our first, we stepped in, and that was our first Homegrown.
Wow. That was
Thursday, actually.
That was your big break, huh?
Yeah.
Big Homegrown break.
And it was just Corey and I. Mm-hmm. And then the next couple of years, I'm pretty sure we got denied by Homegrown. And then after that, we were a four-piece, and then eventually a five-piece with keys and trumpet. And yeah.
So were you playing originals when you first started out, or were you doing covers or a mixture? Or?
Almost all originals, because I can't remember other people's words, nor my own, usually. There's a couple of people out there who know the words better than I do, by far.
So you, the two of you started, and what year, do you remember what year that was, your first Homegrown?
Long ago, we looked it up on MySpace, and it was like 07, I think.
Holy
when we started
cow.
It, on MySpace.
Wow, that's a long time. And so then when did you, I think, was Steve the first person that you added to the band, Steve on bass there?
Our rhythm section was my good friend Chris and a guy that said he wanted to learn how to play drums, Gus. Mm-hmm. And then we've had a couple of drummers since then, or a few drummers, and then Steve is the second bass player.
Oh, okay.
Had. Okay. So yeah, he was just getting. Yeah, he's the other longest tenured.
Yeah, you've been in. Yeah, he's been in the band for quite some time.
Yep, I didn't even realize
that. By far. Yeah, we've been doing it for a while, man.
Yeah.
And then I think not too long ago you added Matt on keys and trumpet over there.
Mm-hmm. And he's added a large part to what we do, and especially on the newest record, because our first self-titled one was only a four-piece, and so this next one that just got released this last month has him featured pretty heavily on it, doing all sorts of keys stuff and trumpet and, was it, vibraphone?
Wow.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff.
D3, yep. Some organs. Yeah.
Some organ work on there as well. Wow, that's pretty cool. So how did you decide to add Matt to the band? Because that's adding like a whole other texture to what you do, another flavor.
We had another person doing it at one point, and we just really liked that bigger sound. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times our songs can handle a bigger sound and sound not like we're trying too hard. And every time a new element came through, like, we didn't know Matt could play harmonica, and so yeah, he's playing harmonica even that wasn't recorded, because he didn't really tell us that.
Matt, is there any? Are there any other instruments you'd like to reveal that you play right now that they might not know?
No.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
So you've revealed everything. All right. We just want to get everything out in the open here. So when you first started out, the two of you. So who does the songwriting? Is it you, Andrew? Is it you and Corey still?
Yeah, I write most of the structures, mm-hmm. like the basic stuff. But I always told Corey, I'm like, I'm going to make the cake and you make the frosting, man, because you got to make this thing look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the structure.
Mm-hmm. And so when you first started out, is that how it worked back then, too, when it was just the two of you?
Yeah, definitely.
Had you written songs before?
No, I think that was the only way I could create songs and sing and play is if I wrote it myself, because then I would remember it.
So most people like start out learning covers to learn, but that didn't work for you.
I would love to do that. That would be fun. Maybe we should just start over again.
No, but I think that's interesting. I've had other people say that too, that they just, you know, they just played their own stuff because they just didn't, you know, want to cover other people's stuff, or it just didn't work for some reason. Well, that's pretty cool. So this particular iteration has been around for a little bit, although I don't think Mike has been
right.
With
so
you
album,
regularly.
It was Jim Mattson, mm-hmm. and he recently moved to the cities, mm-hmm. as a life change. So I work with Mike, and I was like, hey, man, is there any chance you want to try, see if this would work? And he practiced his butt off, and he slid right in. It mm-hmm. worked right away.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And where'd you make the album?
We went for this one solely in Washburn, Wisconsin, at the Weight Room with Ryan Rausch.
With Ryan Rausch.
And he makes really good records, both local and national. So if you can ever get time to spend out there, both the city or the town and his studio are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And did you have a whole bunch of songs ready to go for this? Had you been saving them up, or did you have to write a few at the last minute, or how did it work?
That was strange, too, because we were recording our self-titled, and we got a ARAC grant, and we couldn't use it towards that album, so we had to record another album immediately after finishing the first one.
Really?
So some of the first one songs, the ideas were there. But we cut those out and then re-recorded them for the second album. And then even there was more songs that we didn't complete.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a few songs that Mike doesn't even know that we play. We're going to spring it on him just one day. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Well, let's hear another tune. What do you want to play next?
This one's called I Don't Know Why.
That's Fearless Moral Inventory live from Studio A. And I love the name of your band, and the band names are really hard to come up with. Where did that come from?
It is the fourth step of the AA process.
Oh, okay.
It is create a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us are in the program, but when I read it once, that phrase just became very striking to me. So it just seemed like it applied to everyone, and so we use that as kind of a our moral compass, sort of.
Nice. Yeah, whether you're working the steps or not, it's good for everybody to kind of keep tabs on yourself, see where you're at with that stuff, for sure. So you've got the new album out, but it seems like you've got some things going on. So what are your plans for the band? It sounds like Steve might be leaving soon, unfortunately.
Yep, Steve is Steve is making a life change as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to Colorado. And then so it's kind of up in the air from there.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we're playing shows in the summer, so it might be limited, the amount of shows we have left. So make sure, if you have time, to see one of those if you want.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be back for Homegrown every year in the future.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So maybe we'll just be one of those Homegrown bands.
Yeah, those people that only play one. Cool. You say that now, Steve, but, you know, once you leave, who knows?
I'm going to try.
Yeah. Sure. Well, you actually have that intention? That's great.
I'm going to come back for Homegrown.
You're going to have to get by the mic, sir.
I couldn't imagine missing a year of Homegrown, so I intend to come back. But, yeah, life stuff, you know, you can never have enough foresight for that.
I thought that was just something that you were saying. So that actually warms my heart a little bit that you're intending to come back for Homegrown every year. I love
that. That's great. That's part of the Homegrown spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I always run into people. Jason Cork is an example of someone who moved away from Duluth a long time ago, but comes. I think there have been articles written about him, how often he comes back for Homegrown, and it's always fun to run into those people.
Yeah.
And
he's cooking soup today, too.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah.
Soup Before Soup is happening this evening. So we'll tell you more about that in a little bit. I forgot that he always does that, too. So many wonderful Homegrown traditions, and it's just a fun event. And so, Andrew, tell me about that last song that you just did. Let's circle back to that. Was that just kind of a general, we've all had those days where we don't want to get out of bed songs, or was there something particular that inspired it? Do you remember?
Yeah, well, it's a fairly old song that we've been kind of chipping away at and getting bigger and bigger sound, and that's kind of why it made the second album. But when I initially wrote it, it was that I kind of hated doing what I was doing, and then kind of snowballed into, like, maybe relationship stuff, and then other things that all tied into this, like, it doesn't have to be like this. Why are we doing it like this? And then, after, I would say, the latest election, that I feel like all of a sudden I sing it now with the mindset of, like, why do we have to fight each other? We got to come together on this common goal and get things done. I don't know.
Nice. I love how that's evolved.
I feel like the new fire came into that song for me after that.
Well, that's pretty cool. And I love how you play together. And this band has such a nice groove to it. And having those keyboards helps as well to add a little bit. And I know, Steve, when you were here, you were doing kind of a jam program. You were playing music. Is there a kind of music that kind of brings you all together? Usually people have, like, a really wide variety of influences, but maybe you bring a certain thing to a band.
That's a really deep question.
It's really, what are your influences question, trying to wrap it up and make it sound deep is what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Wrapping, you know, kind of cloak it.
I'm thinking Cake, the Cake album that we covered for Ides of March.
Oh.
4 or 5 years ago, I guess. Fashion Nugget is the name of the album.
Mm-hmm.
That was super... That was good. I was like, I can't name a single one, but yeah, that was good.
Yeah, we still play covers off that album, too.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it kind of stuck with us.
Oh, so this band did an Ides of March? Like, instead of doing a kind of a hodgepodge of other bands, it was this band just doing the cake.
We did the majority of Fashion Nugget 1 year.
Nice.
And then from there, we play, like, maybe one or two of the songs if people request it, almost, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, we're always like, all right, I think we can remember this. We'll get close.
When my brother tries to describe what we sound like to other people, he calls us Primus with a horn.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I like it. Yeah, well, you know, trying to put a name on music can be so difficult, and you kind of have to do it to try to tell people, give them an idea, but it's hard. It's very difficult. Well, let's hear one last tune. So we'll just let the music do the talking. What do you want to wrap up with here?
This next song is called Replacement, and it's actually about people moving away and then coming back later and welcoming them with open arms. So
it's about Steve.
It's perfect. Yeah.
Thank you. That is Fearless Moral Inventory live from Studio A. And Corey, since you are a co-starter of the band, is there anything you'd like to add to this conversation before we have to let you go?
not really, other than I'd love to see you all out there tonight.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming in. This was really a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with Chris Harwood and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs.